Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, it is Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. I am at Georgia Tech. Guess what I stumbled on? A little card sitting on the sidewalk. Somebody's promoting Jesus without religion. Somebody must be coming to the campus here. They're doing a presentation at the Student Center. And I'm torn about this approach. Now, I don't know anything about this guy who's doing Jesus without religion. I appreciate the concept of this isn't so much about religion. This isn't about buildings per se. This is about that evangelical lingo, having a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I like that emphasis, but on the other hand, this is an approach that we've got to be very careful about. There are a lot of people who have been turned off to Christianity. Well, they were always turned off, if you will, but they had a bad experience. I get that. But let's not throw out the church with the bathwater. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech, and I'm watching a kid. He walks a little bit like Shaggy. I mean, like Scooby-Doo, kind of with the bell-bottoms and the flappy stuff. But he's got his earphones in, and, well, let's just give it a go, shall we? Excuse me. Dude, hey, sorry to bother you. Are you listening to anything important right now?
No.
Can I walk and talk with you at the same time?
That's fine, yeah.
Cool, on the radio, right?
Sure.
Groovy. What's your name? First name?
Steven.
Steven, nice to meet you. How do you do?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Tell me what you're studying here at Georgia Tech.
I'm an industrial engineer.
And that means when you grow up, you want to be a?
A consultant, maybe, for a couple years. And after that, I don't really know.
Consulting what?
I was kind of looking at maybe the food industry. I'm not really sure.
Food?
So,
really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I was a biochemistry major before this, yeah. And I changed, so I'm really interested in, like, food sciences and, like, maybe FDA things.
Okay, so tell me one thing that if I knew what was inside of it, I wouldn't want to eat.
Hot dogs.
Pretty scary?
Yeah.
What is inside of that casing?
Anything in a pig that you don't want to eat.
It's a pig, is it?
It is. It's pork.
There's beef
and pork ones.
Okay, so what's in the beef?
Same thing, just from a cow.
What's the name of that stuff in Scotland where they pack it into the intestines and they eat it? Haggis.
Yeah.
So basically a hot dog is a haggis.
Pretty much.
So you don't want to be eating that?
I mean, not really.
Okay. What exactly is Spam?
Pretty sure it's the same thing.
Really?
I mean, it's spiced ham.
It's pink.
It is pink.
When I was your age, I ate it by the gallon.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's
you ever fry it in a pan with some brown sugar?
Not with sugar, but
it's good
I fried it for
butter and sugar? I'm telling you, it's good eating. Okay, so where are you from, dude? You don't have an accent.
Petrie City, Georgia. So really just 20 minutes south of here.
Where's the accent? You don't have one.
My mom was from here. My dad was from Connecticut. Kind of balanced out.
Balanced the deal out. All right, so tell me, as an individual who's in the Bible Belt, are you a Bible Belter?
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, I'm Christian, but I don't know. I believe in the whole separation church and state pretty strongly.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that. Okay, so did you say a Christian sort of, or most?
No, I said I'm a Christian.
You are a Christian. Okay. Okay, so tell me, if I'm not a Christian, why should I become a Christian? What would you tell me?
It just puts everything into perspective. I mean, the Lord gave us everything that we have, and if you believe in Him, He'll bring you to eternal life and eternal love.
Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Things are in perspective. Got a happy wife, happy life. The kids are healthy. Making scads of money. In fact, I got to wrap this up so I can go count all my cash. Why would I want to be a Christian?
Well, you don't need all that money. If you become a Christian...
But I got it, and it's good.
You do have it. But the Bible teaches you that money isn't everything. And you should help people in need. Because... treat others how you would want to be treated. The golden rule it applies to Christianity as well.
Mm-hmm. But why would I want to do that? I like spending it on me. It's good. You don't have to eat Spam and haggis. You get to eat fancy meats. So I think I'm good to go. Anything? Would there be anything else that you would encourage me to consider?
I mean, I don't know.
How's about heaven or hell?
I mean, that's why I said eternal life.
Eternal life. Okay, so where do you think I would be going if I died right now?
If you're not a Christian?
Yeah.
I believe you go to hell.
Yikes. How come?
Because the only way to get into heaven is through Jesus, Christ.
Okay.
And if you don't believe in him, I guess you don't go to heaven, you don't get in.
I'm a pretty good guy. Pay my taxes, don't beat my children much. So, would he send me to hell for being a pretty good guy?
I mean, that's the big question. I believe that he would, but others might say something different. But it's, I would think that in my belief, yes.
How come? Seems kind of shocking to a guy like me.
I don't know. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
How's about becomes? I'm a really bad sinner?
I mean,
do you think that I'm a sinner? I'm asking, so don't worry, you're not going to offend me. I'm not going to take a shot at you.
I don't think you're a sinner. I don't think if you don't believe in God, that makes you a sinner. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus. It's my belief that that's...
But I'd be going to hell, you said.
Yes.
For not being a sinner? So why would I be going to hell? Are you a sinner?
I've sinned.
So you're a sinner.
But I've asked for God's forgiveness.
So am I? But I'm not a sinner. What's the difference between you and me? You look like a pretty decent fellow.
Well, everyone sins. I mean, it's human nature.
So I'm a sinner too.
Yes, but not...
What about this guy eating popcorn walking by? Is he a sinner?
I mean, I'm sure.
Okay, so I need to believe in Jesus to have my sins forgiven. Is that the issue?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. So why believe in Jesus? How come Buddha won't get the job done?
I don't really know.
Okay. What type of Christian did you grow up, or what type of church did you go to?
I was in a Methodist church.
Church. John Wesley's denomination,
yes.
Right? Wouldn't John Wesley say that it's because of the atoning work of Jesus, because he died on a cross, and he's the only one as the God-man who can satisfy the wrath of God that's placed on a sinner like you because of what he did by taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf? Wouldn't that be what Wesley would say?
Yes.
And because God's wrath is on me too, I need to have that same atoning work credited to my account too, right? And without it, God must do what's right and just, and he's got to send a sinner like me to hell because he's righteous and holy. And without righteousness, nobody can see God, right?
Right.
I know. So tell me, if I come to agreement with you, all right, I agree with you, I think you're right, I am a sinner, okay, Jesus died on the cross, what do I need to do to get forgiven? What's the process? Do I sign a card, go to church with you, go to the pizza party? What do I need? What needs to happen?
Well, going to church with someone is a way to get it started.
Okay.
But the only way is to actually accept Christ into your life.
What does that mean?
And that means that you give your mind, body, and soul basically up to Jesus himself.
What about repentance? I hear that word a lot. Repent.
That's asking for forgiveness for your sins.
Okay. Does it mean turning from sins also? Like saying, ooh, I don't like that anymore. God, I just want you. I don't want my sinful life anymore.
Right.
So you turn from your sins? Do I need to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got to repent, and I need to trust Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So have you done that?
Yes, sir.
When did you do that?
It's probably 7 years ago.
Really? How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
So 13, yes, you realized you're a sinful, wretched teenager? Is that right?
It was actually on a church trip that I really accepted Jesus.
Okay. You mean repented and put your trust in him. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So you understood you were, like, because you've told lies, that would make you a liar. Because you've stolen stuff, you're a thief. Because if you're a guy, which it looks like you are, you've looked at women with lust. God sees the heart, and that's adultery of the heart. You realized all of that back then when you were 13, huh?
Yes, sir.
Cool. And you repented and put your trust in Jesus. So when you die, for sure you're going to heaven.
Yes.
And that's why I should repent and trust Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. Fascinating. Dude, thanks for the chat.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Study on. See ya. Like he said, that's what you... Okay. So here's a question for you. You basically just heard the little conversation with the young man who claimed to be a Christian who accepted Jesus. Ooh, this is why language is so important. This is why we need to stop using those flimsy terms, not acceptance, but repentance and faith. That's why this is so important. At any rate, what would you say to that kid? Would you, if you were his elder, say, come on in, kid, that was a profession of faith, that was just swell? Well, might actually be a close call on that one. It's okay that sometimes you have to help somebody just kind of put the thing in process, and you need to put it in the right order. But frequently, when somebody just can't quite give a profession of faith without really being led through it, it should cause us to have a little bit of concern. So that is why, once again, I think the whitest harvest field that exists in this country is right inside of our church. And that is why these types of presentations here, this dopey Jesus without religion thing, no dogma. That kid needs dogma. No theology. That kid needs some theology. No forcing any specialized theologies and creeds onto you. That kid could benefit from creeds so that he can clearly articulate his faith, if indeed he's saved. So we'll continue here at Georgia Tech. And guess what? I think I see the people handing out the Jesus without religion cards. Next on Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Giffert, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health in our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at fortisinstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. There's a young man with a gray shirt. Oh, he's eating food, but he looks like a nice enough fellow, so let's give it a go, shall we? Hey, young man, may I talk to you while you're eating your wild rice or whatever that is?
I'd prefer you'd talk to someone else. I've already spoken to you before.
I thought so. I'm looking at you, but I don't think that you had this deal going on, did you? That's new. Now, let me see if I could... I do remember. Now, let me see if I can remember what it was. I'm trying to remember what you believed or didn't believe. Were you kind of an agnostic sort of fella?
I don't really know how to classify it. I mean...
I remember, though.
Yeah,
I do remember. So, what do you think you are today?
Same as when you last asked, I guess.
Agnostic, huh?
I guess.
Okay, no change, no amazing revelation.
Yeah, I know. Can we perhaps move to the shade a bit?
Yeah, we can move to the shade. Yeah, but don't forget, dude, you got to bring your food, right?
Oh, no, I'm done.
You're done. All right, then I'll take it for you. I'll help you clean up here. Yeah, we can move to the shade, but... This is like one of the first sunny days that we've had in Atlanta now in like the last month here.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that's so funny. Okay, so why'd you grow what's up with the facial deal? What's that about? Come on, we'll find some shade. In fact, we talked right around here, didn't we?
Yeah, we actually did. It was
like right here.
Right here.
I remember it well. The spot is still warm. Okay.
Yep.
So you grew what is this called when you grow a thing like that without the mustache?
I'm not sure.
Look, here's our shade right there.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Just kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay, so how's school going for you?
It's going well.
Yeah. Tests and everything, you getting good grades?
Getting average grades, which is what I kind of want.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are here to get their degree, graduate, get good jobs. I feel like I'm going to leave here and make a startup company, so.
Good for you. What do you want to start on?
Video game development.
Mm-hmm.
And, me and my dad are currently working on a game.
Good for you. What kind of game? I mean, don't tell me enough so that somebody hears it, the idea, you lose your millions.
It's a puzzle game.
Are you into any, like, the violent games? Do you do that type of stuff?
Occasionally, but I've kind of gotten tired of them, to be honest.
Do you think, there's some people who say that kids who play those violent games tend to be more violent themselves. Do you think there's a connection that is makeable?
I think it's, probably there is, but I think it's a very complex one. I mean... I imagine you can take it one of two ways. You could say that, you know, it's a way to just... It's the same way as...
Which came first, the violent tendencies or the video game?
Yeah, or rather the other way, like that, for example, a punching bag. Is it a good idea to use a punching bag to relieve your stress? Well, it's better than going and punching someone, you know.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things that...
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But maybe the analogy, though, breaks down in what the activity is. Mm-hmm. Punching a bag versus pretending to dismember somebody seems to be different.
Well, I mean, either way, if you did it in real life, it would kind of dismember a person. Just one would be slower and more painful. And
perhaps. All right, so dude, tell me. So still an agnostic/atheist, kind of a nothing.
I guess you can describe it as agnostic. I would not say atheist, because atheist.
Okay, but last time we talked, I think I preached the gospel to you, didn't I?
Okay.
Yeah. I told you about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
dying for a sinner like you.
Okay.
Didn't do anything for you, huh?
Well, you and a thousand other people that you know, preach different things. I'm so confused out here that, you know.
Is everybody at you?
Yeah. I just got this.
I got that one, too.
Yeah, you got this one?
Yeah.
Jesus without religion.
Yeah. What do you think that means?
I have no idea.
I was a little
I have no
confused
idea
about it myself.
Where they're going with this, but you know.
Well, I asked them actually.
Yeah.
And the young lady did a pretty nice job of explaining Christianity, but this kind of threw me. Free of creeds, no theologies, no dogma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that theologies and creeds are a bad thing. I mean, if it's true, then I think they're good things.
Yeah. It's tough to say. I mean, unless I hear what they have to say, I can't really judge based on.
So who else has tried to convert you into their thing out here? I'm really curious.
My roommate, I mean...
What's he?
Denomination. Protestant.
Okay, so he's Christian. All right.
Yeah.
Been tackled by any Buddhists, Hare Krishnas? Who's been coming at you?
I ran into a person that was something else. I forget. Kind of reminded me of Buddhism, but I'm not sure what he said.
Taoism?
Maybe that
some
was
some Eastern thing. And now, did he try to get you into his group?
No, he didn't try, but I mean, he and I talked about what separate things we believe in.
All right, I'm going to quiz you, all right? I know what I talked to you about. I tried
to convince you that you're a very bad man and that you're a sinner who needs forgiveness from a good God. And Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment you deserve from God. Okay?
All right.
What did I say to you that you must do to be forgiven by God? The response to the gospel is, I know I told you really clearly. Do you remember? It was two things.
Well, I have to have a change of heart.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You bet.
And I forget. I mean, you said different things. I don't remember which ones were the big ones, but like love God, you know.
It all fell under the category of repent.
Yeah.
Agree with God, say you're sorry to God, and turn from your sins.
Okay.
The other thing was put your faith in Jesus Christ, God himself. And God says, if you'll do that, all of your sins placed on Jesus, all of his goodness credited to your account. The great exchange. You can be a forgiven sinner by a very merciful God who died for you. It's the only religion that teaches that. Taoism doesn't. Buddhism, Hinduism. They all teach works and maybe a good reward. Christianity teaches you've done bad works, but God is good and he'll forgive you.
Well, there's also Catholicism and Protestantism basically teach those. They're two separate religions. What do you think about that?
They're different because Roman Catholicism teaches more than that. Mm-hmm. They also teach that you have to keep doing good and be perfect when you die.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you go to purgatory. Biblical Christianity says, no, when you repent and trust Jesus, all of your sins, past, present, and future, completely forgiven, you are justified, seen as perfect in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did, and then you grow in the process of sanctification, but you're never perfect until you die. Wait. So you get justified by God and you grow in holiness. Roman Catholicism kind of confuses the two issues and says, you've got to be holy when you die, otherwise to purgatory you go.
Wait, wait, wait. So you're saying past, present, and future?
Yeah. All of your sins forgiven.
So you repent once and that's it.
Yep. Now, throughout our life, we continue to say sorry as we goof because we still sin. We're not perfect. We're growing in holiness.
Uh-huh.
But because of the work of Jesus, your entire record is erased. You are made a child of God. You are seen through what Jesus did. You are in him. And while you're not yet perfect, you are now seen as that because of the amazing grace of God. That's the difference between, if you will, evangelical or biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism.
I have a question for you. I mean, last time you had a question for me, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've been curious about this lately, and I've been asking different people their opinions, and different people say different things. What would you say is the best way to pray so that I can get a response from God about questions I ask?
Here's how it typically works. All right, God has written a Bible for you, and you should be able to find the answers in there, or from getting godly counsel from people who know the Bible well. That's typically how God works. He doesn't talk back to you or whisper things or put something out on the sidewalk that is the same color as the car you're thinking about buying. It doesn't operate like that.
Yeah.
Read the Bible, get godly counsel, pray for wisdom, apply the scriptures, make a decision, and then that's God's will for your life. Nothing mystical. You don't hear voices. He doesn't give you signs. He gave you a Bible. So that's typically how it works. Now, why do you pray to God? Because, well, he tells us to, and you want to talk to him, and you want to confess your sins. You want to thank him for what he's done. You want to praise him. You want to petition him and ask him for whatever it is that you need that is biblical. And then he answers in his way, yes, no, or maybe.
Well, my question is because, you know, the Bible, Christianity, all that, somebody somewhere has to have heard from God at some point in
time
to get all that
stuff. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the guys who wrote the Bible did, and they say so.
Okay.
They said that God, whether it was audible, but they knew it was him, whether it was through dreams, they clearly wrote down that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's called divine inspiration. It's as if, okay, God inspired, let's say you were like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Yeah.
God inspired you. You'd still use your personality.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He wrote everything that he wanted you to write without violating your personality. That's divine inspiration.
I understand.
So you're right. They did.
So I'm wondering if that, I mean, it doesn't seem like it should be one of these things that's only between 12 or so people. I would think that anyone could get divine inspiration. What do you think about that?
Well, that's God could have done it that way, but instead he chose to write a book, which really, when you think about it, is a much better plan because let's say you think you heard from God.
Okay.
And I think I heard from God. And you know what? What I heard from God is different than what you heard from God. How do we decide who actually heard from God? You go to the source, you go to the book.
And that way the book determines which one of us is right on an issue or which one is wrong. But otherwise, any thought that you had, any dream that you think you had, how would you know what it was? Well, God chose to write a book.
Well, you have the same problem with a book because
fair enough.
You have a Quran, you have a Bible, you have, you know, you have different books. So, I mean, the issue kind of comes down to you really can't, when you get to the bottom of it, you can't be sure.
Well, what you could do is compare the books and see which one is right. And I think if you compare the Quran to the Bible, it's really obvious. Or the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's obvious because it addresses the sin issue, your conscience issue. The Quran won't help you to sleep at night. It'll tell you to work really hard, practice the five pillars. Christianity says, rest in Jesus, and I will make you my child, and I will forgive you and grant you forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That's the huge difference. Dude, hold on a second. We'll keep chatting here in the shade. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.